The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother, My Brother, Meaning Advice Show for the Modern Era. I am your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middleest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your babyest baby brother, Griffin McElroy.
Start spreading the news.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
I'm leaving today.
Hi, this is Travis down in the corner of your screen. You've probably noticed Justin sounds a little bit different and he's singing. Well, Justin has made his way to New York City, the Big Apple,
and the big Snapple, even.
The Big Snapple. The stars, they're in his eyes. His dreams are finally coming true, and he's decided to pursue his dreams of stardom.
Of joining the Great White Way.
He wants to be the whitest person on the White Way.
It's up to you.
If anyone can do it. Justin, let me stop you right there. It sounds good.
Don't use it all up. Use it all.
Don't use it all up. I gotta know. Have you prepared a tight two?
Yeah, I have a monologue. I have a comedic, and
I'm not asking about your monologues. I want to know if you've prepared a tight two for me. If not, I turn on your heels, do a plie on your heels, and get the fuck out of here.
I have two contrasting monologues. One is comedic. One is dramatic.
Didn't ask you about your monologues. Do you have two? I want to hear you sing two notes.
Oh,
tight
two
notes. Tight two.
A tight two notes. And you bet you only got two, so blow me.
Okay. Sarah Lee.
There. No, that's it. That was perfect.
Thank you.
Now we can move on to the monologue phase of the audition. Hold on 1 second before we move on to the monologue phase of the audition. Jeffrey, Steven, get out of here. You're done. You're done. Get out of here.
Your twos were too loose. You got loose twos.
You got loose twos. Get the hell out of here. Michael, get them out of here.
Michael Cerveris, get them out.
I had to get Michael Cerveris to throw them the hell out of here, right on their ear, right onto the Great White Way. And it's made out of gravel, so it's going to hurt their ears.
Huntington, West Virginia's own Michael Cerveris, our favorite son, our favorite Broadway star, he's also here. The Observer.
He's here, and he's here to give you some encouragement.
Do it for us, Justin.
Mark McVeigh, I should mention, is also a Huntington beloved.
Yeah, I'm here too. It's me, Mark McVeigh, Justin.
Mark McVeigh.
I'm your sister, Beth McVeigh.
Oh, boy. And let me just tell you, you got the tightest two I've experienced ever.
You've been working out to get you to that tight?
Yeah, no. Tight ass two.
None of this is right. None of these character voices are correct.
All
right,
Justin, hit me with those monos, my boy.
Okay, I have prepared three monologues, a comedic, a dramatic, and a
I love it. I love it. I love your voice. I love your style. I love your tight little body.
And a classical monologue. My dramatic monologue is from a really super duper serious part of 10 Things I Hate About You.
Okay.
My comedic monologue is from a funnier part in 10 Things I Hate About You. And my classic monologue is, of course, from, it's from 10 Things I Hate About You, which is based on Taming of the Shrew. So I have sort of all the range of
perfect, perfect film, perfect trio, perfect triad. I tell you what, though, I only want to hear your favorite of the three because we've only got an hour.
So this is, this is the scene, of course, when Julia Stiles is talking to.
I love her. I found her. I picked her from the briar patch.
And
put her up on
her.
That Great White Way. I adopted her and I raised her. She was sick. She had two broken arms and legs, four broken limbs total, and I nursed her back to health from my breast.
I've prepared just a short selection from one scene when Julia Stiles is talking to, as Kat Stratford is talking to Cameron James, voiced by
of course.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, which I would
breastfed him too. Go on.
Breastfed him too. Okay. I'd just like to jump into the scene from 10 Things I Hate About You right now. This is a short scene, but, I hopefully you're going to enjoy it.
Spin it up, baby.
Okay. Number 7, the way you order at restaurants. Number 8,
Justin, can
your
I stop you
stupid
there?
Hair. Yes, of course. Sorry.
I want to tell you 10 things I loved about that. Everything.
That's one.
Everything. Now, Justin, I got to tell you, you got the perfect look for the part we're casting today, which is, of course, Jeff, yeah. On a new musical that we've written together, me and Travis have written together, called Fiddler on the Ground.
We and had a lot of insurance issues.
We did. He was really super high up there. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you because I feel like honesty is the most important part in a director-actor relationship. We've lost a few Jeffias. They've fallen. They have done plump fell right the fuck off that roof right onto the
Why
ground.
Were they on a roof? Why is there a roof in the, in your sequel, Fiddler on the Ground?
No, that's what I'm saying. We've adapted. I'm going to be honest. Okay. It's note for note, word for word, exactly the same, except for all references to roofs have been struck from the record. And it's a much more terrestrial production.
So this is, but Justin, this is sort of like when they changed Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark to Underwear Man, the Punching Genius. So they got rid of all the swinging and it was just a man in his underwear, in his long underwear, punching people, and he was great at it.
Exactly.
Now, Justin, real quick, before we give you the part, and I am right.
Oh, whoa.
I'm right on the edge. Right.
We got a lot more people to see.
I want to ask you the same question I ask every Jeffia in Fiddler on the Roof, and that is this. Sorry, Fiddler on the Ground.
He is on the ground.
Fiddler on the Ground. Can you shake it?
Yeah. My problem is trying not to break it. That's my problem, is I could shake it. But then
we have had insurance issues, so we do need you to guarantee that you will not break it.
I have to tell you that it's actually very disappointing, Justin, because all of the Jeffias we've had so far have exhibited a proclivity toward breaking it.
I do have experience with this sort of Broadway production. I was in, I don't know if you saw, it was a very limited run called Into the Weeds, because mm-hmm. the trees kept falling on people.
Yeah.
So they got rid of those, and it was just tall grass where people learn things about fairy tales and life.
We did a production of Who's Afraid of Virginia Puppy, because the wolves,
sure.
We had a really hard time really controlling the wolf on stage. So we
I was in a production called Some Things Goes.
Like, yeah.
Because we had a lot of problem with some substance abuse and a lot of pregnancies. And then we had to say, okay, not anything goes.
Yeah.
Some things goes.
Hey, the subtitle, Some Things Go. Hey, keep your dick in your pants.
I produced the Spider-Man musical.
Travis produced the Spider-Man musical. But back in the original days, when it was good, when it was risky, when it was brave, when it was deadly.
When it starred the Flying Walensky Brothers.
Oh.
That was a thrilling production, I bet.
Who are those people?
Listen, I just want to get out of here, and I want to say, you got the job, but unfortunately, theater is dead. Theater's dead.
No, a theater can't be dead.
Just died.
Well, it died along with the third Spider-Man.
Oh, no, we lost another one?
Well, we lost 16, but after the third one is when we really had to rein it in.
I was in a production called Singing in the Fog, because there's a lot of slipping.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were falling, and that was...
I remember I was there. I was in the third row. I got really great seats for opening night. Couldn't see a thing.
Right.
I loved it.
I loved it, though. It's very conceptual, very sexual. It was the sexiest production since Some Things Go.
It was very consexual.
It was consexual, I would say.
There was one other I was in. They had a lot of issues with shootings on stage. It was Annie Get Your Nerf Crossbow.
Yeah, sure.
And that was soundly, critically drubbed, I would say.
And Tom Wopat.
Now, I saw one called, it was called Paint Your Wagon, but hey, watch it with the lead-based stuff, partner.
Yeah, sure.
And because they did have a lot of, there was
Paint
some,
Your Wagon
some,
bright yellow so we can see it coming so no one gets run over anymore.
Right. Okay, so I guess we should start the podcast. This is, as you've certainly gathered,
I saw one. Advice. I saw one. No, hold on. I saw one. And it was just called Juliet, because the catalyst for that whole thing was their romance. Just take that out of the equation, and it's just a nice play about some family stuff.
A lot of parents were complaining about the Phantom being too spooky, so I mounted the guy in the sheet in the opera.
Under the sheet, though. Under the sheet, horribly burned. Oh, yeah. My God. Head to dick. Just burned all the way up.
All right, so are we ready to
like
to
start like this? A tempura eggplant, just completely burned.
Just really bad. Okay. My girlfriend and I are about to embark on a cross-country move, Washington, D.C. to Seattle. We're excited about the trip, but the prospect of 50 hours in the car is a daunting one. What are some things we can do while we drive to keep ourselves from going totally bonkers? That's from Trapped in a Toyota. Now, Travis, I would guess you probably have the most experience of the three of us with, like, super long hauls.
Yeah, I mean, real talk, the best thing I can advise is, like, make yourself stop for, like, meals. Teresa and I got into a bad habit of, like, kind of going, oh, we'll stop the next place we see. Oh, are you really hungry? And then pretty soon, like, we'd miss lunch and it'd be, like, 3 o'clock. And that just makes you really crabby and makes you, like, yeah. Really, like, eh. So, like, eat at regular times. And also, at a certain point, I'm the type of person who always likes to make good time on a drive. But at a certain point, if you're driving, you know, 50 collective hours, schedule in breaks. Like, say, like, you know, every 2.5 hours, we're going to get out and stretch our legs or something. Because, man, sitting in the car, even for, like, 6 hours, knowing you have, like, another 4 or 5 hours in the day and then another 40 after that, it can get pretty mind-numbing.
I kind of love taking trips, like, in a plane or in a car, as long as I'm not driving. Driving's kind of a bummer. Then, like, the only thing you can do is listen to podcasts, and guess what? Dummy, you're already doing that. But if you're not driving, I mean, that is why God made Pokemon. Like, that, like, I get psyched to get on a plane and, like, aw, shit, time to fire up the Game Boy. I say Game Boy there as, like, sort of a catch-all for all handheld gaming consoles.
Sure,
you get my
sure.
Point. Have you heard of Pokemon? Because it's going to change you on the road.
You think what this person needs is Pokemon. They need
yeah, it's
to
hard
Pokemon.
To know where to start. I really like X and Y.
No, you got to start old school. You got to start Red and Blue.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think X and Y did a pretty good job of including maybe the people who haven't played it before. It's a pretty good entry point, for being honest.
You probably don't want to do this if you're driving, though. I mean, I think that that's kind of a crummy move. In a two-person long haul, if one person fires up the Game Boy, I think
well,
that's
you take turns.
Crummy.
You take turns driving,
you,
and then
you
it's like
call out what move should I use?
Yeah, what do you want me to use? Razor Leaf? No, don't use Razor Leaf. You're fighting a Charizard, idiot.
Idiot.
Get out of the car. I'm going alone now. I knew I should have gone alone. This old. Leave the 3DS though. Leave the 3DS.
Start
to set it on the dashboard. Arizona.
Set it on the dashboard. We're 3 badges deep, Deborah. Get the hell out of here.
I'm assuming if you're going to Seattle, you're basically just driving to see our live show there. bit.ly/MBMBAM Seattle for tickets. Still plenty of great seats available.
Next
but
week.
That's inadvisable. Oh my God. Don't put it like that.
Ha ha ha. It's next week. What's up?
God, you suck. That's not because I'm not looking forward to it. I think it's going to be off the chain and off the hook.
Enjoy the scenery as you drive across this great land of ours. You're going to see a lot of stuff, a lot of deserts, maybe mountains, maybe Grand Canyon, sure. Or you could miss the Grand Canyon like I did, or you could stop at every Cracker Barrel you see, even if you're not hungry, even if you just stopped at a Cracker Barrel 2 hours before, and buy a licorice candy in every Cracker Barrel in the United States.
Oh, that's fun.
And then you maybe get like a book on tape. I recommend The Q Continuum. It was a great one our dad made us listen to a couple times based in the Star Trek universe. All from the point of view of Q. Dad seemed to get that from every Cracker Barrel we stopped at.
Hey, you know, it's where, you know, we haven't listened to in a while. What's Q up to, I wonder?
Let's check in with our old buddy Q.
The best thing is you get it from one Cracker Barrel. You can turn it back in at a different Cracker Barrel that you'll stop at 2 hours later.
Dad was essentially a Q Continuum delivery man. He was a Q courier.
I got 2 shipments.
There was one in Cincinnati, Ohio, and the people working there were like, why the hell do we have 415 copies of the Q Continuum audiobook? And no other Cracker Barrel in the country has any. Well, I'll tell you why. Mac McElroy.
He had to catch them all.
He caught them all. He caught every single one of them.
You could spend the entire trip writing an album of parody songs and really like get deep into them and spend so much time on them that you think that they're really good. And then when you get to Seattle, just play it for the first person you find and look them dead in the eye and just say, is this anything? Is this something? Is this something? Did we make anything?
And maybe it won't work out this car trip. And maybe it won't on the next car trip. But the third car trip, it'll definitely work out. That's how Weird Al Yankovic did it.
That song, Biggest Ball of Twine in Minnesota, he wrote that on one of his third trip. Wait a minute, I've got it.
You really hone it down by the third trip. Do you guys want a Yahoo?
That would be great, Griffin. Thank you.
This Yahoo was sent in by Colin Bailey. Thank you, Colin. It's by Yahoo Answers user Dorian G, who asks.
Now, Griffin, are you sure? Because Colin Bailey does not sound like any of the three people we normally get our Yahoos from.
No, I know.
I'm very confused and scared.
This is proof. I read all the Yahoos. It's not laziness. I'm not neglecting everyone. It's just they're that good. Colin Bailey, though, managed to worm his way in here. Congratulations, Colin. It's by Yahoo Answers user Dorian G. Already said that. A little drunk.
Me too.
I'm drinking an Austin East Siders. Wait,
this is why we don't do evening record. I'm drinking a giant Omegang Abbey Ale, 8.2%. It's the best they had at the Dwayne Reed.
You guys are doing great.
Yeah.
I want whiskey, but I couldn't find a liquor store in New York.
There aren't any.
Yeah.
That's completely dry city.
Clean living.
Thanks, Bloomberg.
Dorian G asks, handshakes. Should we just get rid of it? Maybe there is something to shaking hands when you have to make a deal. For me, at any rate, shaking hands with a stranger is just awkward. I especially hate the idea that you have to give an especially firm handshake. It can be painful. What's your view of handshakes? Update. Anyone else hate shaking hands with people? We've talked about handshaking, like, technique a lot. So I don't want to get into, like, how to give a good handshake because I don't want to repeat. Handshakes. Should we just get rid of it?
No. And I'll tell you why, Griffin. If we're going to do a little point counterpoint here, I'll be pro handshake. When you meet a new person, right, you have a conversation with them. I'm the type of person I always want to go in for the hug, right? But you never know how the other person's going to react to that.
If we abolish handshakes, though, then you have to you're seeing it wrong. Hugging is now the only option.
No, Griffin, because you throw that hand out there and then they go, and hug you. Or they shake your hand. You've made some kind of physical contact. You've established, like, I enjoy your presence, too. And then the next time you see him, you hug. But the handshake is, like, a really great, like, I like you before you say I love
you. It's an RSVP to a future hug.
Exactly.
Without that,
everybody's just hugging left and right.
First time I met my father-in-law, shook his hand, firm, looked him right in the eye, and I said, save the hug. Next time I flew in, saw me at the airport. Dropped my bag, ran in, jumped into his arms, embraced him for 2.5 minutes. And we left the embrace, and he looked at me, and he's like, I'm glad you prepared me. I'm glad you warned me about that. I was like, yeah, man. You got a few months to prepare. He's like, I needed him.
I was really ready for it.
I did some CrossFit to get ready for that hug. I was like, good.
Yeah, I noticed the delts. For sure.
Good.
For sure.
Handshakes. Should we just get rid of it? I like that. You sell your drum set to somebody on Craigslist, and it's like, well, bye.
Right.
There's nothing in between.
The void will be filled.
By what?
If you abolish handshakes, it's going to become like you kick each other's feet, right? Or like you just rub your shoulder blades together. Something will establish, like,
you rub your big, bald, cone-shaped heads together. Only applicable to coneheads.
Hashtag only applicable to coneheads.
Hashtag coneheads only, please. Gotta get some new hashtags going.
We gotta get that heat built back up.
That
conehead heat.
I like the idea of doing foot stuff.
Yeah, that's a great like quote. Kicking. That's a wonderful pull quote for this episode.
No, I like it because I don't have any kind of fetish, but I like the idea of what's it called in Cat's Cradle? The Bokanons, they touch their feet together. That always seem real nice to me.
Yeah.
We don't do enough touching of each other's feet. And I'm not saying I want to like kiss them or smell them or squeeze them together or something like that. I just touch my foot to your foot.
You know what the nice thing is about that? When someone shakes your hand and they squeeze too hard, there's no visible evidence. Like there's no one watching going, hey, he squeezed too hard. But if you're swinging your foot, people can watch and go, oh, he was trying to dominate with that. Did you see how hard he swung his foot?
Here's the situation. I come up to you, Travis, we've just met. I go in for the handshake, but you see my arm extend out just 1 degree too much, and you think it's a hug, and you go in for the hug. Oh, shit, that's the worst moment of both of our lives. If I come at you foot extended, no confusion at all.
Well, but there's coming, awkward hopping.
Yeah, there's awkward hopping, but you're not going to confuse a broken on foot touch, a foot kiss, with a hug. It's just not going to happen.
Where does this start? How do you become the one small candle in the darkness that ignites the inferno of people touching their feet together?
As far as I know,
we're going to have to pay Viners.
Yeah, I don't even think it's Viners. I think I write one guest post on BuzzFeed, and then like all of a sudden it's a thing. Because did you know that people who write shit for BuzzFeed, they don't. It doesn't have to be real things. You can breathe things into existence. It is a fusion device that you can just think into, and things manifest.
It's a will engine.
It's a fucking matter compiler. You just think into it, and it manifests in real life. I get a job at BuzzFeed tomorrow. I write a post. Things you'll never believe. Kiss your feet to other people's feet. Make your feet kiss, and then it's the whole craze.
I mean, especially soon, Justin Long's doing it.
Get a celebrity endorsement. You know, you'll never believe how good Kim K and Beyonce touched feet at the premiere of Paul Blart 3.
And that even would be, Steve Buscemi's touching feet.
Yeah. Even old Buscemi. He said he would never touch feet with another foot. But look at him now. Yeah, I like it.
And then you get that Buscemi bump.
Feels good. I'm a guy that a lot of people try to hug. And then there's no confusion now. Come here. Give me a foot kiss.
You think foot kiss? That's better than touching feet. Because if you say in a headline, Steve Buscemi loves to touch feet, that guy doesn't need that press. He's a hero.
He doesn't. He's a good actor.
He's a good actor that is also, when he heard that 9/11 happened, he didn't rush away from the disaster. He got his gear and went down to the site and got busy.
Got that really heavy
like,
all of a sudden.
That sounds like a joke.
On 9/11, Griffin.
Yeah, especially my appreciation level for fucking national hero actor Steve Buscemi.
And he did not want any press about it. He didn't make a big deal about it. He just did it because it was his duty.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know this. You've been pronouncing his name wrong your whole life. It's actually Buscemi.
A lot of people don't know some things about Steve Buscemi.
Welcome to Buscemi Bros.
And you're still doing it wrong. There's a coda in there, a TSL coda. Buscemi. You got to really.
Buscemi.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, this like I started to say a word and then halfway through changed it to a different word.
Yeah. Buscemi. Yeah. And if you got to swallow the U. Buscemi.
I did it too hard. Sorry. I did it too hard.
And by the way, Steve, anytime you want to come on the podcast, have your people talk to our people. We don't have to talk about your heroic work. We can talk about Trees Lounge. I don't care. We're here, Steve. We're here.
We've always been here.
I would say hit us up on Twitter, but like, there's no way you fucking use Twitter. You're the coolest dude ever.
Read this next question.
How do I get my friends to play Dungeons and Dragons with me? I've asked them if they wanted to play D&D before. I bought the handbook and dice. They all said yes. I bought the stuff. When I tried to arrange a session, they keep coming up with excuses. That's from Kieran.
I think it's obvious.
You start a D&D podcast with them?
No, you need to spring it on them. You're going to need to ambush them with good times.
You're saying a full-blown To Catch a Dungeon Master?
I'm saying that if you sit there and go, let's play some D&D, and they're like, oh, well, I can't. But if you're like, I'm going to throw a five-person party rager at my house.
But if they walk in their house with a bottle of Arbor Mist, and you say, why don't you have a seat? I want to talk to you about some stuff.
Have you thought about a name for your halfling cleric? And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just here to party.
You know, a lot of people don't know this, but the movie The Game is actually about Sean Penn trying like an elaborate plan to get his brother Michael Douglas to play D&D with him. At the end of the movie, there's a deleted scene where he whispers in his ear like, you just LARPed. I just made you LARP.
This whole thing's been LARPing. And Michael Douglas is like, oh, shit, if I LARPed, I can definitely play D&D. If I've crossed that threshold.
Right.
Roll me up a sheet, bruh.
So I had a lot of friends in Cincinnati who were not necessarily, like, into the idea at first. But then when, like, I got them into character creation, which is, for me, the most fun part of D&D.
Yeah.
Like, then all they wanted to do was play. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's harder now, though, because they don't have that awesome app that just, like, makes the shit for you.
Yeah, I do miss that.
I miss that shit. Like, joking aside, like, that's how you do it. That's how we got going. That's how we got people going. Like, it's that's the hook for D&D. As soon as you get somebody to make a character, that's it. They'll want to play it.
Because they really get invested in that character.
Right.
They're like, oh, I put a lot of thought and time into, like, their name and background and shit.
I guess maybe you could, like, make it for them a little bit, but leave it open for them to change it. Just be like, hey, I made this thing, because I think it'd be, like, what you would want to do. Do you like this? I drew you a guy. You could be that guy if you wanted to be that guy. You could be anything.
The problem is it can be really intimidating for first-time people because it seems like there's so much shit to learn. But really, like, you say, I want to do blank and roll a dice. But, like, until you actually get them to sit down and do that, it seems, like, really intimidating because of all the chick tracks that tell them it's of the devil.
Right. I don't think that's what's scaring people off.
That's what's scaring people off.
I think it's that Tom Hanks movie.
It's probably that Tom Hanks movie. That shit's fucked up.
I'm talking about Captain Phillips.
This is the best way to describe D&D to people. You remember pretending as a child? Well, imagine one guy there had the ability to say, oh, no, you don't.
Hey, you can't pretend that.
Don't pretend that. How dare you?
Let
roll
me
this
check
dice
my pretend book. Oh, sorry. You have to roll a 10 pretend or better.
Can you pretend different?
Can you pretend a different thing?
Can you imagine better?
There's nothing else to pretend in this room. It's time to move on.
Oh, no, you don't. Not so fast. How could you swim that? You couldn't do that. I'm going to train Charlie when she's pretending with her friends. Like, if one of them, like, swings a foam sword and is like, I blasted you with my laser, my lightsaber. I don't want her to train her and just be like, no, you didn't.
Let me check the book.
Let me check the book real quick. No, you didn't. I just
checked. You're negative one in charisma. You didn't do shit, Steve.
You didn't convince me anything. That's not lava. Look at it. It's absolutely not lava.
That is definitely carpet. Listen, if it was lava, I'd be right there with you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not lava, though. Pretend
not
something
lava,
else,
though.
Please.
You want? We can pretend it's hardwood. It's carpet. Like, I can stretch. I can meet you halfway. Let's go to Mike's.
Let's talk about the internet and websites.
I hate it, and I wish it never existed.
What if it was easier and better and you liked it?
Like,
whoa.
Like, if all the people on it, if I could control and choose each individual person, I could be like, Mark, yeah, you can be on the internet.
What if you could control, like, one itty-bitty tiny corner of it that was all yours that only Griffin could live in?
That just sounds like a book.
But it's a book that other people can look at from all across the world. AOL.
Okay. What have we done?
Harness the power of keywords.
I was trying to get to Squarespace.
Okay, get there better.
Why do I have to be the guy who says the thing? You guys say it.
Imagine better.
Imagine if you could make a page, but not just any page, a web page that people can see and click on.
Do you have a mouse you're trying to break in? Well, if we got something to click on for you, it's called Squarespace. It's an all-in-one clicking hub where people can click anywhere on it, and it takes them to goods and services and perhaps some entertainment. This page has everything. Click anywhere
click,
you want.
Clickety-click. The click Squarespace it in. Story.
Click it till your mouse don't make no more noise. Squarespace.
Click it until you've destroyed your mouse with your clicking.
Click the clicking right out of your mouse, clicker. Noise-making device.
Hey mother clicker.
For real though, My Brother, My Brother, Me is sponsored by Squarespace this week. It's an all-in-one website platform. You can make professionally designed websites regardless of your skill level without any coding. You can start a free trial today with no credit card required at squarespace.com. Just use the offer code MYBROTHER, all one word, and you'll get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace, build it beautiful. And it is beautiful. Some beautiful sites I've seen. From the Squarespace engine.
Highly clickable.
Highly
clickable.
All the clicks. Now, what if you're trying to get a bunch of people to click all at the same time?
3, 2, nope. No, Mark? This episode has been half me yelling at imaginary people.
Those are my favorite episodes.
Okay. What if I did want to get a bunch of clicks going at the same time, Travis?
Well, if you want to get a bunch of clicks together, let me recommend Basecamp.
A lot of times I feel like clicking something, and I don't know where to click. I don't know what to click. I just go to Yahoo and just start clicking anything that'll have me. But
well,
please,
that's a mistake, Justin.
Any port in a storm. That's
you
me.
Click on Grey's Anatomy Recap, and it's like, no. I'm busy. Don't click me right now, Justin. I'm busy. I'll tell you what Meredith and company are up to in a bit, but I'm busy right now.
I have to check my webmail. Well, Basecamp is a service that allows you to coordinate with people wherever they are. That way you can all work towards a common objective, common goal, no matter what your role is, no matter what your responsibilities are. It lets you finish the project together easier. Too often in this world, you're working with people that are spread out, not only throughout the country, but even throughout the world. But Basecamp runs on the cloud and has secure servers, and you don't have to mess around with anything that's too confusing, because let's face it, I don't know how the cloud works. But Basecamp makes it easy, so you don't have to worry about it. And because you're a listener of My Brother and Me, you can try Basecamp absolutely free for 2 months, and that's plenty of time to get all of your clicks out before you head off to college. So go to basecamp.com/mybrother.
Also, if you go to that web address, you'll find some custom art featuring a beloved My Brother and Me character and the little guy from Basecamp. It's very cute.
It's really, really beautiful and also haunting. I got a message here for Morgan Harpster, and it's from Chicago, the city that never sins.
Forgives.
Oh. I like yours better. Chicago says to Morgan Harpster, I know that this year has been crazy and not always in a good way, but not only is the weather getting nicer, but you have that great new milk addiction to spend your time on. You're a great friend and a better Mabim Bam fan, and I'm sure hearing the brothers talk about you will make your day. Boy, that'd be a sad state of affairs, huh? Hearing us three chumps.
As you sip on room temperature milk.
Just sipping room temperature milk and you hear three chumps just whisper your name into the darkness.
And you feel a shiver of joy for the first time in months.
And you get a.
Do you guys
get a hot rod?
Do you guys ever get deep into milk? You ever like go for a glass of milk? Maybe you don't have anything else in the fridge. You have a glass of milk, and you remember like, wow, this is good.
No,
this is good stuff.
For me, I get a tall glass of that sweet cow juice, and I sip it down cool, and then I say, "What am I doing? This is going to make me shit my brains out later."
I open the fridge and look at the milk and think, well, surely I didn't buy that in a reasonable amount of time from now. And I always assume milk is bad.
God, you think, damn, you surpassed Travis. Why couldn't you have enjoyed this sweet milk?
Yes. Why did you forget about milk until this moment?
Got a message here from Matt.
You know what my favorite thing about milk is? When people call it moo juice and they're trying to be cool. Like, you're already talking about milk. You can't be cool. There's nothing cool to say about milk.
Well, round robin it. We can find it. Start with whoever just feels the spirit move them, and we each get one. Another name for milk.
Tit liquid.
Okay.
Wait, can I change it to tit squeezins?
No. Sorry, that is better, but I'm afraid that you submitted tit liquid. Hi, everybody. I'm tit liquid.
Running for Republican primary.
My name is Tit Liquid. Listen, friends, I've had a lot of great hits over the years. You remember them. You probably sing them to your baby at night as they go off to sleep.
I'm Tit Liquid. Do you like clicking on things? Sure, we all do.
Hey, I'm Tit Liquid. You know, that RV of yours is looking pretty broken down. Why don't you bring it on in to Tit Liquid's RV repair?
Hey, baby, I'll tell you what. Tit Liquid will just sing right in the tailpipe. That thing begins.
When you want molasses-based candies, where do you turn to? Well, you go to your friend Tit Liquid. Tit Liquid has the best molasses and sassafras and whorehound-based candies this side of the Mississippi. Come on down.
Sorry about everything.
Sorry about tomorrow.
When you need an assassin to take out a loved one, you need absolute confidentiality, who you turn to? Well, there's one name in the phone book if you look under professional assassins, and that one name's Tit Liquid.
You'll know me by my sinister calling card, which is I put a little piece of whorehound candy over each of their eyeballs so they can have something to suck on while they cross the River Styx. It's me, Tit Liquid, and I'll kill your wife.
please remember that if you do ask me to liquid to kill your wife and you change your mind, I am unstoppable and unreachable. I am the Japanese bullet train of assassins. There is no impediment that you can put in front of me that will keep me from my dark goals. I'm Tit Liquid.
I'm Tit Liquid. I'll do it for free. Come on.
I just need to quiet the darkness within.
Anything to feel one emotion, no matter how fleeting. Tit Liquid. This world is beating me down.
The eternal life that Tit Liquid has suffered is too much for me to bear without the joy of killing. I just need something to get me through this eternal bleak existence.
As the world's only living vampire, I, Tit Liquid, crave death. But I can only visit it on others, and I cannot experience the sweet release of that myself. So if you want a vampire to kill your wife or maybe just sexually tempt her in a way that she's become accustomed to from hit series such as True Blood and Forever Night, then Tit Liquid is your man.
Just be careful.
Down on I-95.
Come on down I-95. Only problem is when I turn into a mist or fog or any kind of spectral form, well, I'll be damned if I don't drop all my whorehound candy right there on the floor. Passes right through.
I'm Tit Liquid. And I approve this message. Got a message.
One more message from Matt.
Yeah.
It's from Cody and Lee. And they say, so I bet you thought you weren't getting we weren't going to get you anything for your birthday. Surprise. We spent 100 George Washingtons to get these chuckleheads to tell the literally billions of people listening how awesome you are. Thanks for introducing us to MBMBAM on that Rushmore trip. And enjoy listening to Justin pronounce. Oh, I'm going to let Justin do it.
Kapakistans. Nope. One more time. Kapakitans.
Okay.
Do you mean capacitance?
Kapakitans.
Are you doing your Tit Liquid? Okay.
My name is Tit Liquid. If you and your wife have mastered the art of tango and other forbidden dances, why not turn to Kapakitans? It's the latest craze from the Middle East, and it is just burning up the dance floors here in Alpaca.
Have you guys tried hummus? Hi, it's me, Tit Liquid.
The finest purveyor of hummus this side of the Mississippi.
It's just some sort of crazy kind of bean gravy.
Has your tzatziki sauce lost its zeke? Is your turn to me, Tit Liquid, purveyor of fine exotic sauces?
I can't make tits nor ass of this weird exotic goo, but I'll be damned if I don't like eating it on my food.
Sometimes in my weaker moments, I'll dip a hot dog bun right in there. Just eat it clean off. I don't care. Tit Liquid.
Can we stop the episode now? Is this it? Can this be a 40-minute installment?
About Tit Liquid?
Oh, jeez.
Are your kids having problems with math? Hi. Tit Liquid. I got a 700 on my SATs, just in the math section. Did okay on the English, too, but that's not what this commercial's about.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Tit Liquid. Are you still afraid of dogs? You see what I can do about that? I got two real crazy ones here.
Hey, it's Tit Liquid. I talked to Deborah. She forgave you. So we're all cool here. You guys don't have to be awkward around each other anymore. Thanks so much. Try the hummus.
Are you in need of professional-looking headshots for your toddler performer to make her make it on the Great White Way? Well, turn to Tit Liquid. I'm the world's leading purveyor of children photography, specifically for performers trying to make it on the Great White Way. You want the next Matilda? You turn to Tit.
I'm also an amateur ghost hunter. I will do it for free to maintain my amateur status.
I tell you what's a bummer, guys. The name of this episode is obviously going to be Tit Liquid, and people are going to see that and go, "I think I'm going to skip this one," because they're not going to know what we've done.
This beloved character,
right? And then we're going to have Tit Liquid shirts,
universal spokesman Tit Liquid.
We're going to have Tit Liquid shirts out there, and people are going to be like, "I don't remember that." God, I should probably just stop listening to that show. We got to title it like Tit Liquid. No, but really, listen to this one.
This is an okay one.
This is Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host a show called One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting.
Not a parenting podcast.
Guess what? We both just had babies.
Again.
Check out the show enjoyed by breeders and ballers alike on iTunes or MaximumFun.org.
Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Yes. Of course.
This Yahoo was sent in by Game Recognized Game, Rachel Sperling. Thank you, Rachel. It's by Nicolina, who asks, how to forget a major spoiler? I just waited 5 years of my life just to know who A is. But no, I had to learn it from Facebook, and just now I saw a spoiler of Prison Break, and I'm just at season two. A major spoiler. I need to forget it. I am going crazy.
Clearly.
That is, of course, referencing Pretty Little Liars. And I only know that because I also got that shit spoiler for me on Facebook, which I appreciate. And I'm never going to watch Pretty Little Liars, but it's nice to possess information in case there's like a pub quiz or something. Pretty Little Pub Quiz.
Now, the one thing you have to know about Pretty Little Liars is that there were some spoilers circulating. But they ended up being fake. They were BS. Like,
oh,
they
were, shit.
They were like half true. I know. So it was kind of a hoax. So, you can keep telling yourself that and see if you're right.
Obviously, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, that was a sci-fi thriller.
I thought it was more of a romantic comedy myself.
Well. How can you forget if you see you're flipping through Facebook and you see Pretty Little Liars? The A has been Craig this whole time. Ah, no! If you just look at like eight other things really quickly, will it push it out of your short?
This is what I'm saying. You can't remove it. So what you have to do is dilute it. You need to just begin consuming information at a voracious, unsustainable rate.
Yeah.
Pretty Little Liars centric information.
No, because you gotta get away from that. Get away from that. I'm saying as far away from that. Like, go pick up a Big John's bathroom reader and just start slamming it. Just start cramming it. Like, you're
almost to a point where, like, you're not even, like, taking it in consciously anymore.
Like you've got a test on Big John's bathroom reader in a half hour, and you gotta cram it right now.
So that later when someone's like, who is A in Pretty Little Liars? And you're just like, Abraham Lincoln had 11 toes. And you can't even remember because you have so much static going on. He did have 11 toes, by the way. That's why he was so honest.
Those two don't seem related. And I know this is one of those things that you're lying about. But are you lying about this?
No, I am not.
Are you sure?
I am definitely lying about this.
You are the worst.
You really have me going.
How to forget a major spoiler? Like, we've all heard some stuff, and it's a bummer for me now. We're watching old seasons of Survivor, and I feel like I know all the winners, and I don't even know how. It's just, I think I got it through osmosis.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. I call it cultural osmosis, because there's lots of movies that I've never seen before, but I know exactly what happens in that movie. You know what I mean? Like, I only recently watched Terminator 1 for the first time. Like 2 months ago, but I knew everything that happened in that movie because it's been referenced in everything and talked about on everything. What's the statute of limit? Not to turn the question on its ear, but what's the statute of limitations? Like, can I talk about Lost now in an open and honest way?
Well, according to the internet, it's like 35 seconds. Like Game of Thrones, Gollum died. Get it out there quick. Publish it. Get it out there quick. Every second we spend not writing about how Gollum just died on Game of Thrones is we're going to be last. We're going to be last. Get it up.
But seriously, no Game of Thrones spoilers. I just started. I'm on episode 2.
Oh.
Don't say anything.
Well, Gandalf, you know Gandalf?
Yeah, he's my favorite character.
Yeah, guess what?
What?
He's actually a big pile of rocks.
Ah.
And do you know about Zelda?
Yeah.
She's Gandalf.
Twist.
Are you enjoying the character of Artax, the horse? Well, sorry, he's going to sink into the swamp of sadness as Atreyu looks on.
What?
Sorry.
What?
Jed Stark?
Uh-huh.
He's actually Ned Stark. He's actually alive.
You've been mishearing his name the entire time.
This whole time.
He's A.
I turned on subtitles. He's A?
Ned Stark is A.
The big reveal of season 6 of Game of Thrones is Game of Thrones is what ties all other TV shows together.
All other mediums together. Hi, my name is Zelda, and this is...
This is my friend Tit Liquid.
This is Tit... Hi, I'm Zelda, and this is Bart Simpson. Cowabunga, dude. That's right, Dumbledore. Welcome to my Star Wars. Come on inside. We've got a real Lilo and Stitch. saying shit.
Welcome to the Shining Time Station, bitch. It's on.
Was that the OC meets Cross Shining Time Station?
I'm Ringo Starr and also George Carlin. No one can decide which of us is more improbable as the conductor of Shining Time Station.
And apparently people live inside the jukebox, and we didn't think that'd be scarring for children, but Travis still has nightmares about it.
Know what else is in that jukebox? 17 Candles, the movie.
The sequel to 16 Candles.
Ah, shit, you're right, Trav. One too many candelinos.
one to grow on.
One to grow on. It's a sequel. All your favorite characters are still in it, though. Hank from Breaking Bad.
Malcolm in the Middle.
Malcolm in the Middle's in there. Before we end the show, I wanted to share something with you guys real quick. We've been sleep training our daughter, trying to get her to sleep better. And Sydney sent me a link to a book on Amazon while I've been here in New York trying to make it on the Great White Way. And it's called The Rabbit Who Wants to Fall Asleep, A New Way of Getting Children to Sleep. And she said, I ordered it. It looks really good, and you should read the reviews. I'm like, yeah, okay. She's like, no, trust me, read all the reviews. So this is a book about, like, you basically read it, and it's supposed to, like, lull your child to sleep with its tempo and words and everything. There is one-star review on the book from a Josie who says, in all caps, it's just something like hypnotism, and hypnotism is just a deep meditation. That is the title of this review. Be careful. It's just something like hypnotism, and hypnotism is just a deep meditation, which is linked to evil spirits, which is Antichrist. Do not put your kids into this Satan's hand, please! Exclamation point. That is their review of The Rabbit Who Wants to Fall Asleep, A New Way of Getting Children to Fall Asleep.
So you're saying this book, when you wield it, you can be like, hippity hoppity, watch the rabbit go. Okay, she's asleep. Steal and take drugs. Steal and take drugs.
Katu Barakta Niktos.
Steal.
Play D&D.
All that shit, but also steal drugs. Bring them back to daddy.
Find out where to get the drugs. Daddy does not know where to get them no longer.
Agent Baby, I need you to get these drugs.
Activate the Manchurian Baby to score me some weed.
Folks, we're going to close up shop because Justin's hotel on the Great White Way was built before electricity and broadband signals, apparently, and I think he's completely gone. Justin, test?
Yeah, I mean, I'm completely here.
Niner. Sewer shark. So we're going to shut this shit down. Thank you for listening. Justin, see, that's the problem, Justin. I don't know what you do here at the back end. I usually get out my 3DS and play Pokemon.
Well, I can say that the big announcement, we've talked about it before, we'll make sure nobody misses their chance to see us. We're performing at the Los Angeles Podcast Festival. It's our first time there. We're really excited. We're doing both My Brother and Me and the Adventure Zone. It'll be the first ever and possibly only live Adventure Zone, depending on how it goes. And
bad.
If you would like to watch it, well, it might go bad. I don't know, but isn't that worth watching? The best thing is, even if you're not going to be in Los Angeles, you can watch it from anywhere in the world. If you go to lapodfest.com and click on live streaming, you can, for just $20, if you use the coupon code Zone or Brother, you'll get $5 off. It'll only cost you $20. You can watch the whole weekend, and I think it's archived for like a month. And yeah, there's going to be a lot of amazing shows there, and you get to watch them all for just $20. Coupon code Zone and Brother. Not only does it save you $5, but it supports us as well, and we really appreciate it.
And we really need it.
We need it bad. We need just bad.
We also have some live shows coming up next calendar week. We're going to be in Portland on Friday. We're going to be in Seattle on Saturday. We're going to be in Vancouver on Sunday. Now, Portland, listen up. This is not a test, Portland people, if you're listening to this. On Thursday, do we know the exact time?
I'm looking right now.
Okay.
I think it's noon Pacific Standard Time.
Well, look that shit up for sure, because I'm not going to screw over our people here. We're going to open up a few tickets in Portland. We're actually going to open up a few more tickets in Seattle and Vancouver as well. But Portland has been sold out for months, and if you live there and are bummed, this will be a chance. This will be a chance to get a ticket.
Now, here's the thing. It is noon on Thursday. We've had some issues before of like them going up a couple minutes before, a couple minutes after. We don't have any control of it. So I would say start looking at like 11.
And like this is straight up like I don't want to give anybody false hope. This is like golden ticket level availability. There are not that many, but you will have your chance. It's bit.ly/. God, it's been so long since we've had tickets. I don't remember the link.
I think it's NBMBA in Portland, isn't it?
Yeah, the link is bit.ly/NBMBAMPortland. So look that up. Are you sure about the time?
Yes.
Thursday, noon Pacific. Noon,
correct.
Go
but
get
start checking minutes before.
If you live in Seattle or Vancouver, there's still tickets available for you guys. It's bit.ly/NBMBAMSeattle and bit.ly/VanNBMBAM.
We want to say thank you to everybody who's been sending us awesome shit through the PO boxes. We got a box of stuff from Stephanie, who got us each like personalized thing. Griffin got you an awesome like Griffin themed t-shirt that you're going to dig. I'll bring that with me to the live show. Justin, some Margaritaville merchandise.
Excellent. It's pretty
sweet. And got me some nail wraps and a nail wrap human door. Along with some other really fun stuff that I'll bring and distribute out to everybody. Juice, have we gotten anything in the?
Yeah, I wanted to thank Zoe Kinski. He climbed that ladder, sent me some seafoam candy and a horse candy dish, which is just beautiful. Nice. And a company called Amoretti sent some coffee syrups that I've been using to make cocktails.
Check out PO Box here in Austin. I feel like I'm missing the wave.
You should, man. It's you awesome. Get a southern. You can be the Southern HQ.
I like presents.
That way, when presents come for you guys, I can just throw them right in the trash
or into your mouth if it's seafoam candy.
Delicious candy.
If you want to send something to the West Coast HQ, you can send it to PO Box 341769, Los Angeles, California 90034, or you can send it to the East Coast HQ, which is Justin.
It's PO Box 54. Huntington, West Virginia, 25706. Significant value baubles only, please.
If you want a message in the Money Zone, go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. Be aware there's kind of a backup, kind of a queue, as they would say, in the aisles. Go there and get a message on the show. And go listen to all the other Max Fun shows. There's new Max Fun shows. If you've been listening to the network for a while, go check them out. There's We Got This, starring Hal Lublin and Mark Gagliardi. Travis produces a new podcast called Can I Pet Your Dog? There's a lot of stuff. And
if you're a fan of Lin's, Lin-Manuel Miranda, friend of the show, he's on the first episode of Can I Pet Your Dog talking about his dog Toby, and it's wonderful. His dog is adorable.
The news just dropped that, our buddy Lin's doing a new, Disney flick.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. You know,
and they're recording the Hamilton album, and Hamilton is basically the greatest show anyone's
He's going
ever
places
seen.
And he's the best dude, but. You guys realize we are now going to be 1 degree away from Dwayne the Rock Johnson. Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Listen, Lin, if you're listening, it is your job to put earbuds into his head and play My Brother,
It's
going
to be tough. He's a big, strong man. You are going to have to climb him Shadow of the Colossus style.
Guys, I just had the best idea.
Okay.
We need to do an episode specifically.
Start out with us like, no, don't take him out. Dwayne, listen.
Listen, this is a genius idea. This is a show, an episode of My Brother, Me, a full hour specifically targeted at Dwayne the Rock Johnson and his illustrious career and really getting him like deep into the show.
Yeah,
okay?
Don't panic.
This feels uncomfortable.
The point will be we get Lin to plug him in to his cavernous ears. While he's sleeping on set, right? Maybe taking a nap. So maybe we come in soft, like, Dwayne,
wake up. Dwayne, you're fine. Don't take the headphones off, Dwayne.
We live inside you now.
Dwayne, we interspaced in you. We got lost because there's a lot. There's a lot to explore, Dwayne.
We need you to sneeze, Dwayne. But we know you've never sneezed before in your life. We read it on your Wikipedia
but first,
page.
But first, do you like ghost jokes?
Dwayne, we've made an episode just for you.
This is going to be great. It's going to be probably our best episode since the Totino's episode ever. Thanks to John Roderick also in the Long Winter's Views for a theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. It's a great album. I saw somebody got recommended that album on Spotify. Keep up the good work, Spotify. You're doing it good, but don't stream it. Buy the album. Forget you, Spotify. Buy the album.
If you haven't yet, go to our YouTube channel. Just search MBMBAM. We have lots of like animated shorts and shareable shorts. I'll probably put Tit Liquid on there. It's made me very happy, and I'm probably going to turn that into a
short.
That's
a good IP. Let's shut her down.
Yeah, we're done.
It's finding out who was sent in by level 9000. Yadru Druid, Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yadru Answers user. He's anonymous. We're going to call him Dwayne, who asks, why Shrek is green?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother may kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hey everyone, this is Griffin. Real quick, I just have a couple things to mention that we forgot to talk about when we were recording the show this week. First of all, if you are going to be at the Pacific Northwest shows, the Portland, Seattle, and Vancouver shows, please send in your questions now to mbmbam@maximumfun.org or mbmbam@gmail.com. We definitely need questions for those shows still, so send those emails in and we'll read them on stage. Second thing, a listener named Zach has organized a Mabim Bam game jam for us, where over the course of 2 weeks, people are going to be able to make their own games based on bits from the show. It sounds really exciting. It sounds really cool. You can find more information about that at mbmjam.com. So Mabim Jam. That's a really, really good hyperlink. See you next week.
I'm Jesse Thorne.
I'm Jordan Morris.
The federal government has millions of dollars in programs and opportunities that you need to seize today.
You're a taxpayer, right? Well, then you've got it coming.
Thanks to Uncle Sam, you can learn to get grants for education.
Learn to ride a llama.
Print money the old-fashioned way.
Force your dog to stop being so rambunctious.
Make a souffle that sets and stays set.
Mount the heads of your enemies on spikes.
Grind your own corrective lenses using just rock salt and diamonds.
For all of this and more, drop us a line.
Don't wait. Right now.
Jordan Jesse Go, 123 iTunes Street, or wherever you download podcasts.